Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We begin our meditation this morning with a bit of a word study. I ask you to think of the emotion that comes to mind when you hear the word tradition. For many, typically the older generation, tradition, that word may spark pleasant feelings of nostalgia, warmth, fondness. On the other hand, younger generations typically respond to the word tradition with a feeling of uneasiness or coldness or confinement. Part of the reason for the difference, of course, is that the younger generation don't have as many experiences and don't have a developed sense of tradition. They just see the older generation doing what they've always done, and they sometimes feel themselves, the younger ones, kind of forced into that situation to do what the older generation is doing. Ironically, usually the younger generation becomes the older generation, and the cycle continues. There's an interesting thing about that English word tradition. It carries within it both kinds of ideas, at least in its etymology, where the word comes from. Tradition is a contraction of two Latin words which can mean to deliver, like a gift, but it can also mean to betray, like an enemy posing as a friend. I bring this up because our text for this morning deals with the subject of traditions, and both aspects of traditions can be seen in it. The point for us today is to look for those traditions that betray us and avoid them, set them aside. And to also look for those traditions which deliver to us that good and gracious gift that our God wants us to possess, that is, His blessing and His salvation. Our text is written in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to Him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of His disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Him, Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And He said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." So far, the Holy Word. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England during World War II, once said, "Without tradition, art is a flock of sheep without a shepherd. Without innovation, art is a corpse." Well, we've all witnessed both sides of that fact. On the one hand, some of the most ridiculous splotches of paint thrown against the canvas are passed off as art, and we do not understand them. On the other hand, it doesn't take too many portraits of a sunset in a row before we begin to get bored. And what is true of art in its many forms, in music and sculpture and writing, is also true in the spiritual realm. We have a lot of traditions that are beneficial to our faith and that give continuity to our lives as people of God. By traditions in this context, we don't mean the tenets of the Christian faith, what God has told us to do in His Word, but rather the things that we place alongside of Scripture. For example, the fact that we gather together here on Sunday mornings every week. Gathering together is commanded by God. Doing so on Sunday is not. The Bible doesn't command any day to gather for worship, but it's been the tradition of the Christian church ever since Christ rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. There are many other traditions that we have, some just as ancient as gathering on Sundays for worship, others that have developed over the past centuries, and others that have come about even more recently. We even have our own traditions here at Our Savior's that may not be shared by other churches, even within our fellowship. For example, we celebrate the Lord's Supper on the last Sunday of the month. Now, all those traditions have something in common, and their common thing is that they're a beneficial tool for serving the ministry of the gospel, and providing continuity to us and to our gathering together. There are times, though, when tradition gets ahead of itself, when tradition can become nothing more than the shackles of legalism that people carry out in order to prove how godly they are. And that was one of the problems that the Pharisees demonstrated in our text. It was demonstrated in connection with two traditions of the Pharisees, one that they mention, which is the washing of hands, and one that Jesus brings up, the honoring of father and mother as God's appointed representatives. Really, both of these traditions are tied to their religious beliefs. You might not think so of the hand-washing one, but it is. The washing of hands wasn't about hygiene. The Pharisees thought that they would become spiritually unclean if they ate with unwashed hands. They actually thought and believed that they were more holy than Jesus' disciples because they washed their hands and Jesus' disciples didn't. In that sense, it was kind of an accusation against Jesus. If Jesus wasn't teaching his disciples to be more holy by washing their hands, well, then he must not be the Messiah. So for the Pharisees, washing their hands was a self-righteous act. And when you engage in a self-righteous act, you're always, in a small way at least, denying your need for a Savior and for the forgiveness of sins. Anybody who thinks that in themselves they are holy and perfect, they don't have a need for a Savior. And that's what their question was all about. So Jesus shows them that their keeping of their traditions not only doesn't make them more holy, but it actually becomes the opportunity for sin in their lives. Jesus brings up a tradition the Pharisees held that allowed them to violate the fourth commandment, or made them think they could violate it. And here's how that tradition worked. The Pharisees knew that God commanded that everyone should honor their father and mother, the fourth commandment. That commandment applies not only to all people when they're children and when they're under their parents' authority, but it also applies to all people when they grow up and their parents grow older and are in need of help and care. It's a great system that God has established and built into his creation. When we're young, we need care and help from our parents, and when we get older, we need help from our children. In both cases, it takes resources to do that. Parents have to work to provide for their children. And when the parents become older, their children have to work to provide for them. Well, the Pharisees had found a loophole in one of their traditions that let them keep their hard-earned money instead of using it to provide for their parents' needs. The tradition had to do with certain offerings to the temple treasury, a certain designated offering that could only be used for material improvements to the temple itself. And so all the Pharisees had to do was calculate how much their parents had spent in caring for them, and then set that amount aside as korban. Korban became an offering that wasn't really an offering, because all the while it would remain in their own pocket. Once a Pharisee declared korban, they didn't have any responsibility to their parents' needs. And in fact, they couldn't. It would, in their reasoning, be like giving an offering to God and then taking it back. It's very twisted reasoning, you might say, and it really is. The covetous, self-righteous Jews would say to themselves, if I support my parents, I'm taking away an offering from God. And so, using that loophole, they neglected taking care of their parents by appealing to tradition. Of course, by doing that, they're neglecting the law of God. They're neglecting a commandment, the fourth commandment, to care for your and honor your father and mother. And they're doing it because of a commandment they themselves made up. Tradition. Well, this is a very real danger and temptation for you and me too. On the one hand, it's a temptation to raise tradition to the level of God's word and say, this tradition is just as important as his instruction to us. Sometimes we do that. We raise traditions to an important level and then we look down upon those that don't keep them. On the other hand, it's also a temptation to set God's word aside for the sake of following tradition. One example we may bring up in connection with this twofold temptation is with Sunday school. Sunday school is a relatively recent tradition in the Christian church. You may not have known that. It began in the early 1900s. And it began as a kind of an outreach tool toward unchurched children. And in that way, it proved to be very beneficial. Nowadays, it is still a beneficial tool of Christian congregations. And the purpose of it today is to assist parents in their responsibility of bringing up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Yet we should understand clearly that while God has commanded the church to teach his word to young and old alike, he never commands a specific kind of program to do that. If parents are teaching their children at home as God commands them, and the parents are bringing them to church to hear the corporate worship of to take part in corporate worship and to hear the preaching of his word as God commands them, well, then we simply cannot judge them if they are not bringing their children to Sunday school. On the other hand, Sunday school can also become a replacement for the day-to-day instruction in righteousness that parents are commanded to provide their own children. So in that way, parents who think that dropping their kids off for 45 minutes at Sunday school is a sufficient response to God's command bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, well, those people are rejecting the commandment of God for the sake of tradition. Well, we get to the bottom line on the subject that our sermon text sets forth. The Bible is the word of God alone that is able to save our souls. And traditions are man-made. Traditions, in fact, are only beneficial when they actually serve the purpose of the gospel ministry, which is to bring souls to repentance and to an understanding of their sin and to show people their Savior and their way out of sin, to bring people to faith in Christ Jesus. So when traditions are raised to the level of laws by which we judge others, they run counter to that purpose of the gospel ministry. And the problem, of course, isn't with the tradition itself. It's with the sinful human heart that seeks to judge other people and to justify ourselves. Whenever we try to justify ourselves, we're rejecting Jesus as our Savior. And that's why Jesus brings it up to the Pharisees. That's why he always teaches and preaches and admonishes. Jesus isn't just trying to win an argument in our text, although he certainly does that. Jesus wants to win their hearts by showing them their need for him to be their Savior. He's worried about them. Their traditions aren't getting them any closer to God and to heaven. And ours don't either. The only thing that brings us closer to God, that brings us closer in a relationship to his holiness and righteousness, the only thing that gets us into heaven is the good news that Jesus bore our sins and the punishment for them when he suffered and died on the cross. That's what God's word communicates to us. And when our traditions are nothing more than an avenue for this salvation, when they help to bring that message to us, well, they're good. They're worth holding on to. If our traditions become obstacles to the gospel by being elevated to the level of God's commands, well, then we should let them go. No one was ever saved by following a tradition. Neither has anyone who trusted in Christ alone for salvation ever been condemned. May that truth always be the treasure that we seek to pass down from generation to generation. Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.